When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm ready. Okay.
I love doing this.
I love it's doing so this. Fun. It is so much fun. I hope everyone else likes it as well. No one hasn't told us that they actively dislike it, so we're carrying on doing it.
No one told us they actively dislike it. And downloads-wise, you guys are doing all right with it.
Yeah. Cheers, guys.
But still tell your friends. Do still tell your friends as per. It's always lovely when we get a bunch of new listeners.
Exactly. And like and subscribe, I believe.
Like and subscribe.
Goes.
That is what they say. If that's possible, do that.
Yeah, that would be amazing. But here we are, and this is Bake Off week 6.
I can't believe we're on week 6.
I know, I can't believe. It's flying by, isn't it?
It is flying by.
Yeah. So what's this week then, Hol? What are we doing?
It's botanicals, and that's actually how I was going to kick off. I wanted to ask you what you actually think of when you think of botanicals, because it's a bit of a weird... I don't think they've had botanicals before.
See, I was doing a bit of Googling last night, and my Google was, have they ever done botanicals before? Mm-hmm. And no, you're absolutely right. When I think of botanicals, I think of gin, actually. And I think of stuff you smell.
Juniper.
I think of smell stuff. Yeah. I think of smelling stuff rather than tasting stuff. And I think they took the concept of botanicals quite wide in this episode.
They did. Like, for example... Well, we'll go on to it, but thyme, is that a botanical?
Yeah,
I think you're
spiced,
pushing it.
I mean, they literally were including cinnamon and things like that into this, weren't they? And it's like, what do you mean by botanical? Surely you just mean flowers, don't you? But anyway,
I think plants in bell jars. That's literally what I think of when I think of botanicals.
Yeah, exactly that. But look, I did Google if they'd had a botanicals week before, and the last time they had a botanicals week, so the answer is yes, was in 2016. And
they did have one before.
Yeah. And that's quite interesting, isn't it? So they clearly kind of go through the archives and figure out different things that they can do. And this, I mean, as we've talked about this series, they have obviously really listened to the critics and stopped doing super, super, you know, fancy structural stuff and enabled the bakers to shine with some more classic kind of baking abilities and stuff. But I thought the botanicals thing was interesting because I was having a Google, figuring out when it was, looking at who was doing like what, you know, what series it was. Anyway, it just so happened that the botanicals, it was the week in 2016. This is with, there was Candice Brown, who I follow on Instagram still.
She won, I think, didn't she?
I think she won, yeah. She's got a pub and serves lovely food. And there was also Selassie. Now, do you remember Selassie?
Oh, I remember Selassie.
What I loved about the article
hottest
I was reading
about...
Hottest
baker of all time.
This is it. In the article I was reading, where it said, I think Selassie gets voted off in Botanicals Week. So I think that's the link there. And it did. It explained him as being the internet's boyfriend.
Yeah, truly.
He just was, wasn't he?
He really was. I'm pretty sure that Selassie is actually on an episode of Off Menu.
Oh, really?
Which I think really shows his level, because I don't think they've had any other like random bake-off. Nadia Hussein, but she's incredibly famous for lots of things now. Yeah. but pretty impressive, I think, for Selassie to land on there with the likes of Stanley Tucci and stuff. So, yeah, I do remember him being a huge heartthrob. What was the name of the guy that we all had a bit of a crush on last year? There was definitely another sort of...
Sandro.
Yeah, we love Sandro. But no one comes close to touching our hearts in the way that Janusz touched Esther in my hearts last year.
No. And I was going to mention him too, because
you texted me a picture this week, didn't you, that he liked, whose picture was it? Nikki's, maybe?
He liked something in
the
bake-off, didn't he?
He liked one of the other bakers' Instagrams the other week, and we exchanged a message where we were like, we have to stan him because he stans them. Hang on. None of this is making any sense, and it's because I need to sneeze. I'm not very well this week.
Okay. She's going to sneeze now. Well,
I've held back the river.
Oh, dear. It's gone. Fine. I was going to talk about, because that little interchange made me then just go and have a look at Janusz's Instagram account, which I do follow, but I had missed the fact that he dressed up as Paul Hollywood for Halloween.
Icon, legend.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Still love Janusz. Still love Janusz.
He was incredible.
I know.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we kick off?
To one of the most controversial elements, I believe, of Bake Off, which was the first section, which, you know, let's bring on the jingle, shall we?
Let's get the signature jingle. It's time for the signature.
Signature time.
It's signature time.
Right. Okay. So.
During the jingle, I was seeing if I could coax that sneeze, but I can't. Doesn't matter.
Haven't coaxed.
With the show. Professional
right.
as ever.
So, signature. This was spiced buns, and I think this really was taking the botanicals theme to a kind of wild and crazy kind of direction. I think it was very peculiar.
I know.
I would never consider nutmeg and cinnamon a botanical. They're a spice.
Basic.
Have a spice week.
Actually, not even basic. Yeah, just a bit like, yeah, have... aromatics week, or like, yeah, spice week or something.
It's like,
it's strange. Yeah. Botanical, really, you're right. Botanicals are fucking flowers.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Or
anyway.
Maybe they're like aloe vera and stuff. Like,
yeah,
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 they're
the
not
of all
cardamom.
Plant no.
The funniest of all plant names. However,
but what I did,
I did love what they actually made. This, it turned out, was kind of my week. I would never have expected
thought it was.
It from this. Yeah, loved everything that they did, and I would have smashed it all. I am obsessed with a cardamom bun, and so many of them came through with a cardamom bun in this task. Oh, I love them.
Every single thing. No, everyone bar one. Every bun bar one, I would have absolutely chowed down on. And I, for me, actually, I thought, oh, signature buns, they're all for me. And then you could eat all the technicals. That's what I, in my head, I was like, that's going to be your...
Yeah, I would have loved those technicals as well. What bun, I'm interested now, what bun would you not have chowed down on?
Okay, it's Dan's bun, which had saffron in it. And I think saffron is rubbish. I do not
saffron. It's not worth it at its price point, let's be honest. But Dan's Greek buns sound amazing in my notes.
Really? Yeah, they were the ones that I was like, nah. I think that saffron, I know it's an incredibly expensive spice, let's just call it a spice for now, but it adds a note that I don't like in anything.
I don't, that all it adds that's, mm. I think, a pleasant thing for me is the colour. But everything else, I think it destroys paella. I think it destroys a spice bun. It's adds a really horrible flavour. I don't get it. I don't get why people would use it.
Some controversial statements on the podcast today.
I know. I'm so sorry.
I love it. I love it. No, I want you to. I want you to express yourself.
Oh, thank you. My favourites were Tash's. I love the Christmas buns.
Oh, with the Yuletide kind of, ones.
Yeah, yeah, loved them. That was all me. I thought that was so, every single bit in that was spot on. I probably would have done without the icing, but I loved it all.
Yeah, I kind of really agree. I feel like, I mean, the grey shit, the drizzle, let's be honest, that looked rank. it probably smelled amazing, but it looked pretty rank. And actually, mulled wine kind of does come a little bit more into botanicals for me a little bit. Like cinnamon, you're kind of pushing it. Obviously, oranges and stuff, you're kind of pushing it.
But
and maybe even some sort of juniper berries or something, like allspice.
Oh, for sure.
Like you might get some stuff that's a bit more. Cloves.
Yes.
They might come into botanicals for me, you know.
Maybe they straddle. Maybe they're a straddling thing.
Maybe we should look up a definition. But yeah, hers. Yeah. I can't. Even the red icing that she managed to achieve at the end to drizzle over the top was a little bordering on the. Are we sure?
Yeah. But lovely. I mean, all the flavors.
They went down well, didn't they? They went down well with the judges. So
went down extremely well.
The judges. That's a different show.
That's your test daily, isn't it? Yeah, I love that's it. Yeah. It's very good.
Oh, I tell you what, my favorite quote from this whole bit while we're talking about Tasha's, I think it was referring to Tasha's Yuletide buns, was my darling, for some reason I've completely blanked on her name. Alison.
Tasha. Alison, yes.
Alison coming in and going, "That is absolutely vile, babes."
What was she saying it about?
That I'm pretty sure that was about the egg white, whatever it was. It was like the drizzly thing that she'd made with the mulled wine that had gone grey.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Oh, no.
That is absolutely vile, babes. Not very good accent that time, but oh, it was so funny. I adore her. Obsessed with Alison at the moment.
Do you know what? I am really, really enjoying her on this. I didn't think I would be.
She's so good.
And in the same article that reminded me that Selassie was the internet's boyfriend in 2016, the same article was suggesting that this was the most boring series of Bake Off yet. Thoughts, please.
This.
Mm-hmm.
I pointed to myself then for some reason.
Is it because of me?
Oh, God. I mean, it may be because we are slightly contractually obliged to continue watching this year, but I've dropped off after I have to confess here and now that like there was a period of Bake Off when Channel 4 had kind of like just obtained it. Yeah. Maybe it was just after that I kind of dropped off every so often where I would lose interest
just not watch it.
And that hasn't happened to me yet. I think it's because I really like them all, but maybe that's the drama. Maybe you're not supposed to like them all. I don't know.
Well, she was saying
it's bloody baking lemon drizzles, isn't it? It's not who's going to be the next prime minister or something.
Well, she conceded to Saku and said that she's a kind of a lone glimmer of, she was saying that there was a lack of personalities, but actually,
Your Honour, I present to you Rowan. Come on. Oh, actually, Rowan really made me laugh. I was going to text you this, but I thought I'd save it for this. He put, let me just quickly go on his Instagram because I followed him. Oh, I've gone
of course.
Oh, yeah, play mode because I'm so professional. Oh, hang on. Here he is. Of his leaving, he posted last week simply, oh, it'd be good if I could actually find it to show you. Here it is.
Yeah.
Episode 5, I'm off Hans. Loved it. Though he did say that he was very pleased to have made it halfway through.
That's really nice. I wonder if he's borrowed that from Janusz, because it sounds like a Janusz thing to say, doesn't it?
It does. Episode 5, I'm off Hans.
Or he would say Hun Bun, wouldn't he?
He probably would say Hun Bun. Oh, and I loved, once again, always, it's so, so sweet when the bakers comment on each other. Josh commented saying, Rowan, you're a superstar, an icon of this series for sure. Loved watching you put your baking creations together. And chuffing L is my new phrase now because of you.
Oh.
Do you think that means
so
that
haters,
won?
Go and speak to Josh about Rowan.
Let's find out. Let's find out. Okay. Right. With this, so signature, right? I loved it. Yeah. I would have eaten every single one of them, minus the saffron.
Minus the Greek buns. Me too. I loved them. I did have a little note, which was just quickly to say, oh, I loved Alison nestling Saku into her bosom.
Oh, I did love that too. Yeah. Yeah.
That was very sweet. And I also wanted to ask you, what the fuck is Saku's job?
Intelligence analyst. That's what the job is.
She said somebody this week, because she couldn't count her, she measured her buns wrong.
Yeah.
Someone went, I thought you were an accountant. And she was like, yeah, I swear that happened. And I was like,
intelligence analyst. Maybe intelligence analyst. Are we both Googling at the same time?
No, you do it.
I'm
sorry,
I didn't
mean to boss you around then.
I'm Googling what is a, and I wonder if it might actually be some kind of accountant, is what I'm saying.
Oh God,
it sounds really, really, really clever.
Tell me.
Well, business intelligence analysts is an individual proficient in computer programming languages. BI tools, I don't even know what that means. Oh, business intelligence. Technologies and systems. I mean, it sounds very boring, but it sounds very clever.
Okay. It does sound like there could be maths involved then. Got you.
There could be maths involved.
I was just like...
Yeah, her maths...
I swear every week it's like, oh, Saku, aren't you a nurse? And she's like, mm-hmm. Or like, I don't know, someone... Like, every week there's a new job that she's doing.
Is she like that rabbit in Peppa Pig that kind of like sells things on the moon, but is also the postmistress? And have you know, I don't know if you've ever watched, been subjected to Peppa
I
Pig
love
awfulness.
I mean, I watched a little bit of it when my sister was young, but it was quite new at that point. It was new kid on the block was Peppa, and I imagine that my sister's 19 now, so I'm imagining that the world will have probably have expanded since I had the pleasure.
Well, yeah. Mrs. Rabbit, or whatever her name was, I think she was a Mrs. Rabbit. She just does every single job. She's driving trucks.
She's Saku. Mrs. Rabbit.
Saku is Mrs. Rabbit. Yeah. Right, let's move on to your best round. This is Holly's round.
This was a bit of me. Let's get technical.
Technical
time. It's time for the technical.
Right. This was not me. This was definitely you.
No, this was so me. Lemon and thyme.
Ooh, so
I would have destroyed them. Lemon and thyme are two of my favourite flavours in the universe. I love them together. Mm. I've never had a lemon and thyme cake, but absolutely I'd be down for that. I'd be so down for that.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I put in my notes here, I put, don't see the point, and it was written like that as well, like no prefixes. Don't see the point in light cakes, I put.
Yeah, I was telling you, I'm so sorry about my sniffing. I'm going to get told off by Dave after this, but I can't help it. Quick sniff away from Mike.
Sniff.
But, we were talking earlier about a Guinness. It was like a stout chocolate cake.
Yeah.
And Esther lit up like never before.
Oh yeah, that sounds amazing.
It was, before we continue with technical, we did share a sweet treat today, which is obviously quite relevant for the pod. We did.
Yes.
My lovely friend Harry, who is a patisserie chef, baker, professional baker herself, she made some Rice Krispie treats that she brought over the other night for a little Halloween party we were having. Party. It was a couple of friends coming out. I actually mentioned it on Pod Main. Listen to the main pod. but oh my God, we were both just like in a sort of trance for a while after we ate them.
Because Holly suggested that they were, it sounded as though she was bringing over Rice Krispie cakes. And if anyone's ever made a Rice Krispie cake, I honestly thought she was talking about Rice Krispies stirred up with a bit of chocolate, maybe some golden nests. Syrup if you're feeling fancy. Yeah, nests. This was something you'd buy like in a French patisserie. It was amazing with the kind of all the Rice Krispie bits all smooshed together with like marshmallow down the bottom. And then
so much marshmallow that we're probably
kind of
going
pin
to have
feathering
cardiac
over,
arrest.
Just so good.
It was incredible. Salted dark chocolate ganache as the topping.
Oh, really good. Really good.
Just wild.
But whole, we digress. So we are on a light cake, which I'm going to sneer at all the way through
this
section.
Yeah, this is what I was going to ask you about. So when you say light cake, tell me what you mean by that. Do you literally just mean a cake that is light in texture, colour? Tell me more about that.
I think it's because... like my go-to kind of cake is usually like a fruit, it's a fruit cake, it's usually denser, it's usually heavier, it's usually usually something you could do your strength training with, you know, like, and the way you talked about the Guinness,
a kettlebell,
like the stout cake, something really super heavy and dense. So I mean kind of denser in terms of like the sponge, but like this, these were like really really open sponges, and it is something that someone would describe as having a light cake. And I just think that just means you've got less cake per forkful, haven't you?
Shout out to Paul Hollywood, who does, as you know, we hate Paul on this podcast.
Yes.
No, we don't. We don't. But we do slag him off quite a bit. And shout out to Paul because being not biased towards him, loved the term, that is a very open cake. Or I'd never heard that really before. I don't think he's really used that before on Bake Off. And it made so much sense to me. I was like, oh, I understand what you're talking about. And I am completely the opposite to Esther on this. She's pegged it completely right. Citrusy and light, two things that... because I'm not brilliant at overly sweet. Looking at me and the size of my arse, you may think otherwise, but that's all from crisps, really. Like generally I don't go in for sweet treats too much, and they've got to be really nice or specifically quite sort of open. I don't like things that are too claggy or too heavy. Oh my God,
oh,
it just looked
bring
incredible.
On the clag.
I mean,
love a clag.
Yeah, you love a bit of clag. Doug loves a bit of clag too, really.
Yeah, bread pudding. I think bread pudding is my kind of absolute ultimate. Love it.
Oh, God.
Which is the claggiest of all cakes.
Oh, mine would be like a sort of like, very light sponge with like a Italian meringue buttercream or something.
God,
just
Jesus.
Everything that you light in is just fluff. Just fluff. Just pure fluff.
What's the point? What is the point? Right. Okay.
I was going to ask you about this because I do think it's time to mention on this on this pod. I've talked about this before on when it happened, when it went down. This must have been last year now because I got COVID and I didn't know what to do with myself. And I made a lemon drizzle cake in a saucepan. And it was okay. I don't think I would have won it. Tell you what, it wasn't open. It was close. It was tight. It was closed. I don't know. It was quite dense, but it was delicious because I did cover it in sugar and lemon. But I made it in a saucepan because I didn't think I had a spring form pan. And then I did find one the morning after, which was a little bit disappointing. But it made me want to ask you, what is your, could be biggest, could be most recent. What's the baking fail that comes to mind? I'm going to call mine a fail, even though it succeeded. It was still like, Doug was like, what the fuck is this? It wasn't great.
Cake in a saucepan. I think that was, actually think that's such a good idea if you don't, because it's you get saucepans in all different sizes. Obviously, they're going to be oven proof mostly, unless you've got a plastic handle. And I think it's a really good idea.
It was a thin metal one. And I was like, what is the difference between this and like a spring form tin?
A handle, that's it. It's fine.
I
would suggest that I've had many, many baking fails, but actually I can match that with a lemon drizzle fail, so might as well do that. I remember
perfect for the technical.
Exactly. I made a lemon drizzle when I was at school. So when I was doing home ec, which I don't believe is called home ec anymore, it's called like food technology. But back then it was
food tech. I think it's called now.
Yeah, back then it was home economics. You know, for the women. So that you could learn how to budget and iron sheets and stuff. And one lesson we learned how to
be honest, like I probably do with that bit lessons in that.
It was quite useful actually with care labels. But anyway, I learned how to make a lemon drizzle and I made one and it was fine. And then that weekend I decided to replicate with my family this lemon drizzle. We were going to have it Sunday and da da da. And I made it with the power of my memory. Which has never been a powerful tool, and I forgot eggs. Mm. So I made the whole thing, and we had lemon drizzle shortbread, and it was delicious. But I couldn't for the life of me figure out why, you know, I'd put the mixture into the pan. It just crept up the sides of the pan, you know, and didn't poof up. And I was like, what's missing from this? What's different? It was like, oh yeah, eggs.
Oh, I mean, that does sound incredible though, to be fair. Lemon drizzle shortbread.
That's really nice.
Oh. Mwah, mwah. I'm doing chef's kiss to that.
Definitely not an open texture.
That sounds epic.
Thanks.
No, I mean, that's the sort of theme, I suppose. Neither, it is difficult to create an open texture.
Yes.
But I did think that they were very strict on this. Yes,
they were. True. They were strict.
Paul was weird about this. Like Dana's one, which he was like, oh, this looks like half of it got stuck in the pan. It looks all like not uniform. I was like, so? I don't see anything wrong with it. It looked fine.
It looked fine. And I got very defensive of the bakers in this one. And the other thing that I've written down, apart from don't like light cakes, is who makes the cakes that Prue and Paul test? Because it's clearly not Prue and Paul, is it? Even though they say it's their bakes, it's not. Prue did not make that cake. She didn't
it might be Prue's recipe, but Prue's not slaving away over a hot stove a few hours before filming.
Exactly, but she takes a bite of that. Even when it's like, when it's one of her bakes, she makes the same face as if it's one of Paul's bakes. It's like, oh, this is really nice, isn't it? And it's like, why are you surprised? It's your bake. But she hasn't made it.
Maybe it's an intern from Prue Leith School. Could be. Very, very interesting question, though. If anyone has any insider info, for example, we've already gleaned the fascinating info that there is an official Bake Off illustrator and that he is a runner from just you guys emailing in. wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk. Emails in the show notes.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
You know who makes those cakes? I really would like to know badly as well.
I want to know who that is. I really want to know.
Yeah.
In that round, Natasha came last.
Is it even
last.
A real cake? Sorry, I've got to offer a tangent now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not. Like when I went to Harry Potter Studios and they were just green ball bearings rather than peas. Is it a similar thing? That's got to be sitting around all day. So
you are right. It could well be that.
Could be made of styrofoam.
It might be. And then they just bring on the slices. And they might have just got this from Mr. Kipling. Who knows?
Yeah. Or could be styrofoam and Prue's just going,
yum.
Oh, delight. One thinks that is delightful.
Very open texture. So Tasha was last and Christy was first. Yeah. So
yeah, basically,
I think I did get worried about Tasha
keepy uppies in the middle, which we definitely should
that's
check
right.
out as well.
I was worried about Tasha at this point, but I knew that her signature had been quite good because that was the mulled wine ones. But it felt like most signatures were good-ish. So it was a bit like anyone, but I was worried about Dana at this point?
I was too. Poor Dana, who actually did brilliantly last week. It's just not, it's such an up and down game, the bake-off game, isn't it?
It does. Yeah, totally. It depends on your strengths, doesn't it? Yeah, completely.
I was very worried about Matty. I mean, I don't think his signature, I can't really remember, but I feel like his signature wasn't disastrous, but it wasn't great. His hot cross bun, he didn't really know what one was. He didn't like them. They didn't really go for them.
He didn't put enough fruit in it or anything, did he? Yeah.
No, and it was a bit dense. They weren't too keen.
And then he didn't do
brilliantly. He was towards the bottom of the technical too, I believe. So...
Yeah, and right. So my question, should we just move into the final segment, because I then have a question
to ask
you there.
Let's do Showstopper, because I've also got a lot to say about Showstopper, and you've got to pick the kids up. So let's do Showstopper jingle.
Showstopper.
Beautifully done.
Right. My first question to you with Showstopper is, at this point in the show, who did you want to go? Matty or Dana, because it seemed to be one of the two of them. Who would you have wanted to go had you not known the outcome?
You know, it would have been really, really tough.
She's going to have a weep.
I am going to have a weep.
This, of making this decision.
Is as, on America's Next Top Model, I remember Tyra Banks, when it was a really serious one, she used to go, and this decision has made me question my role as host of this show, because that's how I feel about that question. I honestly would easily have said Dana before the last like week or two, but Matty has really crept into my heart. Like, he's actually so funny. I thought he was a bit serious and maybe took himself a little bit seriously to start with. He's so funny. He's so lovely. I love the way he vibes with why I'm not well today, and I keep forgetting.
Allison's
name. Yeah. Why do I keep forgetting Allison's name? He vibes very well with Allison.
He does. He does.
I keep wanting to call her Amanda. That's not her fucking name.
That's not her fucking name.
So I feel like I kind of weirdly would have been last week. I would have been sadder if it was Dana. This week, I think Matty crept into my heart enough that I maybe would have been sadder if it was Matty who went.
I think I would have been too. So I concur.
Yeah.
I concur. So we went into the Showstopper, and it was a floral thing.
It was. The first thing that I had to comment on was Matty saying that using elderflower made him feel like Harry Potter. That was weird.
There was something weird going on. That was strange. So he sees it as some kind of...
What does that mean?
I think he sees it as some kind of bizarre kind of wooden shelf cordial thing that like people in the Wizarding world would use.
Basic.
Rather than everyone... It is quite basic, isn't it?
A botanical, though. I will concede that is definitely a botanical in my book.
Yes.
That's a flower that you use to make things taste of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Fine. He can have that.
He can't have that it's like Harry Potter, but he can have that it's a botanical, I think.
Yeah. And like, so I went, you're absolutely right. I went through everyone's cakes and I gave them like one word, whether they were good or bad or whatever.
In the conception.
Dan's idea, grim.
Oh, in the conception, okay, execution. Okay, Dan,
so
grim.
Dan, grim. But then the result of it was clever, but not great, I've put. These are the actual Esther's words. Grim, clever, not great. Matty's sounds great. Not great.
In my notes, I literally just put, Matty's was basic as hell. I'm sorry. That was what I wrote in my notes.
Basic as hell. It was, but poor old Matty. And for Saku, I've put, amazing. And that's the conception of it. And then flavor's bad.
I know, flavor's bad.
Tasha's ludicrous. And then does well. Because she was so overwhelmed by this, wasn't she, that she stopped talking, that she just signed, that she was so worried about the words and things.
For her. I have no idea what it is like, obviously, to for British Sign Language to be your first language. So it must be exhausting for her to have to speak aloud a lot of the time. So I definitely
wouldn't want to make any assumptions about this, but I do think that she was saying it was because she was a bit nervous about saying all of the words. But I think actually she was just generally quite overwhelmed. I felt really sorry for her.
She looked overwhelmed. Yeah, she did look overwhelmed.
I think she just was so like, I can't handle that today because I'm overwhelmed already. So I'm just going to use sign and please can you guys just fuck off. That was the vibe I got from her.
I think that's good. And, you know, at this point, I think it might be nice for me to bring in the fact, you know, we talked about doing a sign a week and we've completely failed in that. I have got a sign for you that I learned because of this. Are you ready? I learned the sign for cake, right? So the sign for cake is a flat palm. And then you put your hand on top of it. Flat palm.
Hand on top of it. Like a cloche.
Like a cloche. And then you just lift your hand up. That's cake.
Oh, reveal the cloche.
Cake.
Perfect.
I think the hand that's in the sort of spidery. Yeah, cake. There we go. So we've all learned
British
something.
British Sign Language is the most, it's the most gorgeous, like it's everything is so sweet.
I'm saying maybe
someone who speaks it properly is going to show me what the sign for shagging is or something and I'll be like, oh, okay. But the way that Tasha uses it on Bake Off certainly makes it seem like thank you being basically like doing almost like a little kiss.
Yeah, it's very sweet. This kind of very lovely.
It's just lovely.
I said that Josh's sounds good. Yeah, Josh's sounds good. It looks great, tastes great. Dana, and then all I've done for Dana is box.
Oh my god.
And then looks amaze, but not taste. This is how I write when I'm reading things.
I love that.
Tasted shite. So
it looked incredible, which is kind of why it's such a...
Yeah,
but
yes,
I think we should talk about the elephant in the room here, full stop, really, which is Christy.
Christy.
Not to refer to her as an elephant in the room. She's lovely, but...
She is lovely. That destroyed me. She had a full-on... I think she was having a full-on panic attack then.
I know, it didn't look good, did it? Yeah.
No. Yeah, I felt really, really sorry for her. I think they needed to bring in a few more people to kind of look after her. She should have had a bit of a moment because she was... I mean, she pulled herself together enough to cope by the end of it and she was fine, wasn't she? And she even talked to them quite kind of more pragmatically about it. But at the time... I think that could have done more compassion. And I don't think
Alison
in the era...
was nice to her.
Alison was nice. But I think in the era of Mel and Sue, I think they would have cut that maybe and not had it in the show. And just given her a bit of space to kind of... I don't know.
Yeah.
I kept on thinking about what you'd said about...
I had mixed feelings about this, Esther. And I feel really savage. Because I would have reacted in exactly the same way that Christy did. But I did think... that I think it comes from the pressure that gets heaped on them when they're doing well. And she's obviously been doing really well. I didn't think it was that disastrous. I thought that she could have come back from it. I mean, Rowan last week with his ab fab pies, like he did go home, but he'd not done well enough, well in the previous ones. And he just kind of had a bit of a, about it. And I think, I mean, she did the right thing because she remade it and it looked much better and it was absolutely fine. But it was, and she cannot help her reactions to it. She's a human being and she's obviously lovely. And I think you're right that she was like, I'm very hot, I'm very hot. And she was obviously really panicking about it. But it did turn out to be quite a lot of her panicking over what ended up being absolutely fine. And she'd done absolutely fine in all the other challenges. And I was a bit like, babes, you're putting so much pressure on yourself just because you've done well for the last, you did Star Baker last week and you've done well ever since. So obviously she did a great signature and she'd been smashing it. That I sometimes wonder that pressure makes some of them go into perfectionist mode. Because before she wasn't very well, Tasha had that a bit in chocolate week too, didn't she? Because she got Star Baker twice previously. Before then, I swear things went wrong and she was a bit like, oh, well, let's just come on. I better make the best of it. But with the chocolate one, she was like coming off of this high and it was like her white chocolate took a bit longer, a bit longer than everyone else's. And she was like, And I think, it's very warm in the tent and it's very stressful and I do get all of that, but I kind of think that it is this like it's almost a curse that like you need to take a deep breath if you've got Star Baker and you're doing well, because Take your wins. You're doing well. Not everything has to be perfect. There shouldn't be that huge amount of pressure on you, you know?
Do you know, it's true. I always think it's a bit like, it's like when I'm gonna akin this to playing Bananagrams. I play Bananagrams with my mates, if you are the first person to finish off all your words, it's disastrous. You almost never win from that point, mm-hmm. because everyone else is just still fumbling around and getting their shit together and sorting out all their words and stuff. And yeah, it just feel like, yeah, getting Star Baker early on in the shows, it would be very interesting to see, actually. Let's see the proportion of winners who were given Star Bakers in the first, say, 3-4 weeks. Because yeah. I bet it could be quite low.
It's the same with lots of reality TV. Like Drag Race, I often think that too. It's like you have to sort of ride a bit of a wave of your story arc, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
Like I think if you start off very strong, often that can lead to it being very difficult to kind of keep up your, to keep that expectation of yourself up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it sometimes works out as a little bit of a better story arc from the narrative perspective on these shows. But also, I think just in terms of like a self-fulfilling prophecy of growing into yourself on the show a little bit, and then you kind of hit that peak just before coming into the semi-final or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I can remember plenty of series of Bake Off where people seem like middle of the packers. They're never bottom of the packers. But they seem middle. They seem very, very middle.
Josh.
You think, you think you're going to be out by week 4 or whatever. And then
sneaking through, and then you start to win a few. Yeah.
Yeah. And they get a few kind of, they're like talented in particular areas. And that might be the sort of, it's when they start doing tempered chocolate and you think that really does sort the doodahs from the thingies, doesn't it? And
you know, it does. but yes, all's to say that I think that maybe Christy psyched herself out a little bit here. And although I felt incredibly sorry for her, and you're so right, she was obviously going through it. I did, her baking and crying gave me the girl in the club who's like crying and dancing, because the guy that she was trying to get with has just rejected her or something. It was quite funny, even though I felt really, really bad for her. And if she's listening, which she won't be, I'm so sorry. Speaking of that, though, I mustn't forget to mention that I previously said I was going to contact Abby and try and get her on for Botanicals Week. I totally didn't do that. Esther and I have been really busy. Sorry, everybody, if you were hoping to hear Abby on this week's pod.
Oh my God. Anyway, I still really, really would like to get a baking legend on the bake-off section. That would be good. Let's really look into that. So anyway, cut to the chase. After you've eaten all of these cakes, did the person that went, was that the right person to leave the tent?
I'm going to go ahead and say no. I kind of, even though I would have been really gutted, I kind of thought Matty was for the chopping block. And mm-hmm. I was quite surprised. I did a little gasp to find out that it was Dana. I mean, obviously it's about flavor, but her showstopper did look incredible. Like the best of everybody's. And I know it obviously is about the flavor, but it looked beautiful. And again, we're throwing it back to these slightly weird definitions of botanicals. She did incorporate real flowers in her design and it looked amazing. Mm-hmm. I think as well, it sounded like her cardamom buns were not quite the right size and they weren't perfect. They weren't quite as good as like Christie's cinnamon buns, for example, but they weren't bad. I think what really let her down was the technical, which she didn't do brilliantly in at all. And then I guess nothing else was quite good enough to save her. But I thought that Matty's critiques, and it's so hard to tell, isn't it? Because you're not actually tasting it all. But I thought that Matty's critiques were quite a lot worse. And I thought his showstopper was enough to really kind of seal his fate a little bit, because it didn't really fulfill the botanical brief. They didn't really like the cake very much. And I don't think it was a showstopper by any means.
Didn't look like a showstopper. No, it really didn't.
No.
So, I mean, I think it was going to be it's like a gold leaf between them, isn't it, really? Because he did better in the technical, and
he probably did.
He was on a par signature wise because his signature was a bit shit. So I think they were it was just sort of neck and neck, really, wasn't it? So it means he's in danger next week, then, for sure, isn't he?
He is. But I mean, then, Saku, of course, Saku. He adore. A real hilarious and amazing Saku moment for me. Probably my favourite Saku moment of the series so far was her just before the judging and just afterwards. So just before, she obviously said, look at my face for the last time because I'm going home tonight.
Yes, I love that
so much. And then I also really enjoyed her reaction to not going home, where she was talking about how she was going to have to call her boss and ask for more time.
Oh, she's just incredible. She's so funny.
I love her. really like her. She's very funny.
She's just great.
And then Star Baker was Josh, which I believe was for the first time.
Yeah.
Even though it seems as though, that's why I mentioned him, because it seems like he's been doing pretty well all the way through. But actually, he has kind of just been biding his time, never doing badly enough to put him in the danger zone, but just kind of, you know, oscillating around a pretty good level.
Good work.
And then this week he, thank you. Oh, I did quite, I think that gave a good visual image. He's now finally sort of had his peak. Though I do think that Christie's white chocolate ganache palaver or whatever it was probably what sealed his fate really as Star Baker. Because I do think once again, he did great, but I still think he's slightly skirting under the amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I think Christie probably would have cinched it if she hadn't had a mare in the showstopper.
Yeah. And so like, before we go, now that we're kind of, is this halfway or are we beyond halfway now?
I have no idea.
Because there's 12 bakers and we're in week 6. So I reckon we're we're probably beyond halfway.
I think
halfway
we're a little bit
we end
more.
With three.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at this stage of proceedings.
We've still got how many left? Five.
Saku, so it's going to be
Josh, Dan, Christy,
Tasha. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, no, it'd be 6. 6 next week.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Who did I miss then?
Dan, Matty, Saku, Tasha, Matty. Josh, Christy.
And now no Dana.
So 6.
Poor old Dana. Yeah.
And then you end with 3, don't you? So 1, 2, 3, 4. We've got another 4 weeks, basically.
Okay.
So 4 weeks to go. Who is going to win Bake Off?
Oh, okay. Is it time to start answering that question?
Let's do it. We should do it at the end of each one.
Oh, sorry, everyone.
She's going.
Oh, God sakes. bad timing. We've got so much going on and now my body decided to fail me on top of it all. It's not going to happen. Yeah. She's going to be the series fave who it doesn't Selassie, you know, ends up getting quite close but doesn't quite make it because I don't think Saki's going to win. But
she's the internet's girlfriend.
My
heart. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she is. I think we're in really good hands here with Josh, maybe with Dan still potentially, Tasha. I'd say, I mean, Christy's really coming through, but it's really hard to call. I don't think it's going to be Matty or Saku, just based on last week's performance, but just general at the moment. They've been slightly on the struggle bus for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
The destination of the struggle bus is not the final, unfortunately. I think my predictions for final three right now would probably be. Yeah. Oh, I'm actually going to go Josh, Christy.
Yeah.
And Tasha. I think it might be Dan, because he peaked quite early and he has been slightly struggling a little bit more. So he could be on his, if he has a bad week, he could be gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think those would be my three.
I absolutely agree. I'm going to say that I reckon those three definitely for the last week. So Tasha, Josh and Christy. Yeah. I'm wondering about, I think Tasha, I think she might be.
Is going to win.
Yeah, I reckon.
I think she's still definitely, I mean, she's obviously very talented. Her showstopper, we didn't really talk about lots, but wow, that was awesome.
It was incredible. Yeah.
It was great. Like, she's very talented. I think, Josh is incredibly artistic, clearly.
Yeah.
Him and his granny with his hibiscus competition.
Yeah, although those sponge fingers, they didn't look as nice as everyone else was saying they were. They were like,
no,
that's really,
true.
Really nice. And it looked a bit kind of washed
together.
It was a together.
Bit Linda McCartney, like uncooked Linda McCartney, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
half thawed.
Yeah. Something like that.
I mean, Christy is really doing very well, but I hate to say it, because again, I'm saying this as a total flapper and a panicker. So in fact, it's only flappers, panickers on this podcast. Like, are flappers and panickers. I hope all of you listening are. Like, I think that's something we can all identify with. But I do worry about the way that her ability to deal with stress in a cool, calm and collected way. Both Tasha and Josh, I think, are a little bit better at doing that. Dan is a bit better at doing that. Whereas Christy did really, really panic when something didn't go her way this week.
She did.
So I do worry about that.
Yeah. I worry about that for the two of them, about Christy and Tasha, that both of them have had moments where things have become overwhelming.
Has had moments.
And it's like, okay.
But then didn't Dan throw a tea towel across the other end of the room in bread week? So, I mean, maybe I think Josh is potentially the only one who's demonstrated that he can really stay calm in a crisis.
Oh my God, he's like a serial killer.
I know. He is a chemist. Yeah. Oh, formaldehyde or something.
God.
Right. No, sorry, next I'm week. Not accusing him of being a serial killer just because he's got access to
that's
chemicals.
My fault.
No,
he clearly isn't. Clearly isn't.
No.
So next week is dessert week. So Bake Off 7.
It is.
Desserts. I don't know why that's different from any other Bake Off week, because they're all...
Neither do I. That sounds like the last
desserts.
7 weeks we've had or whatever it is.
It's a Bake Off week, isn't it? It's ridiculous. But anyway.
Yeah, a little bit. Flour week. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I guess it's going to be sort of blancmanges and stuff.
Oh, God. Oh, so this is not going to be my happy place, is it? That's up there with saffron.
I don't think so.
Any kind of milk pudding can do one. Ugh.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be our cup of tea necessarily, but we shall see what awaits us. We can't wait. I don't know when we're going to have time to watch this, Esther.
Nor do I.
But it is what it is. We'll work it out.
It is what it is. We'll figure it out. Right, we will see you next week, and in the meantime, go check us out on the main pod and email us at wrpodcast. That's the one, at anthem.co.uk.
Correct. Yep. Wish us the luck over on the main pod. It's kicking off, that's why we're a bit busy, and we've had to squeeze this Bake Off episode in, because Esther will be running the New York Marathon this weekend, and we're out in New York doing all sorts of things. So tune in for that. There's going to be plenty of joys, nasties, who knows?
Who knows?
Going on.
Lots of crying. Mm. Lots of crying either way.
Lots of crying. Yeah.
If that's your bag, come over to the main pod. And we will see you next week for Bake Off 7, Dessert Week.
Dessert. Mm-hmm. Desert Week.
Just desserts. Desert Week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.